This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. I sent tile water samples to the Iowa Soybean Association Environmental Services for testing from one of my farms this year. The nitrate concentration in June was 0.24. By late July, it was 0.19, and by October, it was 0.14. Concentrations above 0.2 are surplus. Concentrations from 0.1 to 0.2 indicate crop needs are being filled. The crop was corn, yielding 230 bushel per acre. The concentration fell as the growing crop utilized the nitrogen. State rainfall records show that northwest Iowa got 38.58 inches of rain in 2016, which was 8.39 inches above normal. It was difficult to get samples as the creek that the tile drained into was flooded so much that the tile outlet was not accessible. The field was manured and they applied nitrogen in different forms 2 to 3 different times. I didn't think that was too bad. We are going to test it again next year when the crop is in soybeans. The Des Moines Water Works has been alleging that the reason that they need to spend so much on new water infrastructure is because of the need for water treatment, blaming it on tile drainage from northern Iowa. The Iowa Partnership for Clean Water reviewed the data and concluded that the need for water infrastructure investment by the Des Moines Water Works was to meet demand from 20 new suburban communities that now account for over half the water from the Des Moines Water Works provides. The IPCW found no statistical trend in nitrates in the river for the last 15 years, and that peak trends appear to be declining. The only reason that they need new infrastructure is because they doubled the number of new customers, but like to bugger drainage districts to help pay for it. The Des Moines Water Works sued 3 drainage districts in northwest Iowa counties for damages from nitrate discharges from field tile drainage. The lawsuit is scheduled to be tried in Sioux City Federal Court in June. It's attracted a lot of attention. I also would not be surprised if the EPA's new administrator, Scott Pruitt, is in Sioux City working to help the defendants in this case. This lawsuit damaged urban-rural relations and frankly helped Trump win by large margins in rural areas. Farmers considered this an attack on agriculture. The bottom line to me is that without the drainage tile, given over 8 inches of additional rainfall above normal, there's no way the yield would have been close to 230 bushel per acre. The 40-week cycle low in corn is due yet this month, but there's nothing resembling it yet. I would expect bearish annual crop report and stocks reports to spike it in. Frankly, it ought to better test the September 1st low. There's a glut of corn everywhere that I've been this fall and winter with no room yet to move grain from farms to elevators until outside piles are first absorbed. A 2.4 billion bushel carryover is a lot of corn left over at the end of next season. You're listening to the Comstock Report. Rain forecasts for South America have been volatile, not quite measuring up to the bulls beating the drums for drought in Brazil, but not giving it all clear quite yet either. The longer the price holds up, the greater the increase in soybean acres that there will be here next season. USDA reported a weekly export sales of just 87,000 metric tons of soybeans, 429,000 metric tons of corn, and 183,000 metric tons of wheat, all well below the lowest trade estimate, with soybeans shockingly so. The export focus is obviously shifting away from the U.S. Ethanol production as a percent of gasoline demand hit a record 12.32% last week. Blenders, pumps, and exports are growing ethanol demand. Ethanol production hit 1.043 million barrels, a record high. Record DDG production, too. I love E30. How about you? Remember that a 1% increase in the blend rate equals consumption of another 500 million bushels of corn. The Saudis followed through on their 486,000 barrel reduction in oil production, but the Russians are supposed to cut by 300,000 barrels, and that's not going to happen except possibly on paper. Crude oil has had a hard time closing over $54 a barrel, but was trading that at the time of this report. On meats, country of origin labeling is coming back as an issue as it fits so well with the protectionist mindset that is spread through the country. I supported COOL. Not considering letting consumers know what country their product comes from is a trade barrier. Packers and retailers bemoan the cost, but do you suppose that they can afford it? They took enough gross margin in 2016 from producers to pay for a century of COOL. COOL opponents are afraid that U.S. consumers will want U.S. meat, and they might actually have to pay more for what U.S. cattle are worth than they did in 2016. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.